IBM is working with clients to put smart to work and bring progress to everyone. Together with IBM, experts are putting smart to work to help the environment, improve safety on the road, and make progress. Not just for a few of us, but for all of us. Because while technology has never been smarter, smart only matters when you put it to work. Let's put smart to work. Find out how at ibm.com/smart/UK.
This is Tech News Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen reporting from the newsroom in New York. Your smart TV is probably losing its smarts. How can you stop your TV's brain drain? We'll check in with WSJ personal tech columnist David Pierce right after these tech headlines. Kids these days. In a new poll in the New York City area, 72% of teens say they regularly see material online their parents would consider inappropriate. And 31% say they have messaged a stranger on social media. 14% say they have sent a sexually explicit photo. Parents, meanwhile, are often clueless about their teens' activities. The poll found that 70% of parents think they can see what their children are doing online, but 57% of teens say they can easily hide what they do there. And half of teens aged 13 to 18 say they socialize online at least 3 hours a day. Half also say they've been bullied online, mostly citing insults. And children are using social media at younger ages. The survey found that 15% of children ages 3 to 7 are on Facebook, according to their parents. Now, Facebook has a messaging app that children under 13 can use with parental consent. It allows them to send texts, messages, and videos to a list of contacts. Apple's App Store took on criticism Monday as Supreme Court justices considered whether consumers should be allowed to proceed with a lawsuit alleging the company has an illegal monopoly that produces higher prices. The plaintiffs are a group of consumers pursuing a class action lawsuit that seeks damages on behalf of people who have purchased iPhone apps. They argue their prices are higher than they would be in a competitive market because Apple requires that all software for its phones be sold and purchased through its App Store. App developers can only reach iPhone users through Apple's store, and the company charges developers a 30% commission. And check out Wall Street Journal reporter Kelsey G and Tim Higgins' story on how Tesla has become a much sought-after work destination for young job seekers. Now, sure, it means long hours and a frenzied pace, but the perks include driving Tesla cars. A Tesla spokeswoman says that Tesla collected nearly 500,000 applications last year. That's double the volume in 2016. Meanwhile, some Tesla employees say they have turned down offers from companies such as Alphabet's Waymo division and Uber that were 20 to 50% above Tesla salaries. Up next, how to keep your smart TV smart.
The Wall Street Journal podcast are brought to you by Trunk Club. Don't have time to shop or just don't know what to buy? Trunk Club's professional stylists help you build a wardrobe for everything from Monday morning meetings to Friday happy hour. Get started at trunkclub.com/Wall Street.
Ah, yes, it's great to kick back with your feet up. You flick on your smart TV, catch some NFL games, or binge watch your favorite show. But what if your smart TV is losing its smarts? Well, then what? That's a real issue, and Wall Street Journal personal technology columnist David Pierce is on the line with us from San Francisco. David, how's it going?
Hi, doing pretty well, thanks. How are you?
I'm good. So, look, my smart TV has all these services and channels, and sometimes I think it's even smarter than I am. But, you know, if I'm moving beyond cable or Netflix or Amazon Prime Video, my TV might not know the world beyond those services.
Yeah, so this is an increasingly large problem. Over the last 5 years, we've had this swell of smart TVs being sold that have apps, and they connect to the internet, and they can do all kinds of new and interesting things. But what increasingly happens is you buy a TV and then it has, you hope, all the apps and services you want. And then slowly but surely, the apps that exist get out of date and don't get the newest features. New apps come in that aren't always supported by your device. And you wind up having to buy a box or a stick to augment this thing that you just spent a ton of money on and is designed to be kind of the centerpiece of your home. And it's become a real problem. You just can't trust that your smart TV is going to be able to keep up with you.
You know, you alluded to this in your story, that there's nothing more frustrating than having a ton of sticks and cards and remotes to have to fumble with just to watch some TV.
Yeah, I mean, it's a silly problem with a sort of obvious solution. This is why smart TVs exist. And the TV is this fixture of your living room that it stays in one place. It's always plugged in. It only gets replaced every 6 or 7 years. I think statistically, the average TV lasts just shy of 7 years. And so it's an obvious answer that all of these things should live inside of your TV. And yet, for whatever reason, we just haven't reached a point where it stays that way.
YouTube TV is an example of a service that YouTube is aggressively rolling out, but Samsung or LG TVs made before 2016 can't even get to it.
Right, exactly. And for YouTube TV, which is trying to be supported on as many devices and used by as many people as possible, it makes sense for them to go to things like Roku, which has lots of boxes that people use, or iOS or the web, where lots of users can get to it. And these companies, YouTube and others, just don't have the resources to spend all their time updating old TVs with old software and only a certain set of users, which for them makes sense. But for you, as someone who bought an expensive TV expecting it to have cool features, it's terrible. It shouldn't be that way.
You know, a lot of us have it built into our heads to replace our smartphones every couple of years. That seems to make sense. But replacing your smart TV, that's a much bigger operation. It involves the wall, the furniture, and the whole deal. But to stay ahead of the curve, you've really got to replace your TV, maybe even sooner than every 7 years. 7 years seems like an awfully long time, considering how quickly technology advances.
Yeah, and the problem now is that we've gotten to a point where screens are definitely continuing to get better. But if you buy a 4K, HDR, Dolby Vision TV, all these acronyms that most people don't need to know or understand, but if you buy a very good TV right now, it's still going to be very good 7 years from now. Pictures are not getting that much better that quickly. But what's deteriorating is the software. And in the piece I wrote, I described it as like, what if you bought a phone and you could download all the apps you want, but then never update them again? And you were sort of stuck with a phone that didn't get better over time. It just was stuck, frozen in time. And when you're replacing it every 2 years, that would be still frustrating. But when you're replacing it every 7 years, the out-of-dateness just starts to get really problematic.
And speaking of the software, you make a good point in your column that there's a lot of consolidation going on in the smart TV content market, and that could actually benefit consumers.
Yeah, so we've kind of seen the same thing over and over throughout the history of tech. I mean, first it was Windows, where Microsoft went to all these PC manufacturers and said, well, look, we build great software, you build great hardware, stop trying to build the software for yourselves and just run ours. And it'll be better for consumers because there will be more apps available because it'll be the most popular platform and you can just focus on building great hardware. And that worked really well. And the same thing happened with iOS and Android, where at the beginning of the mobile revolution, everybody was trying to make their own software. And it meant everything was fragmented and you couldn't talk to people on other devices and everything was just confusing. And then once we sort of segmented around iOS and Android, suddenly, because there were fewer app stores, there were more apps in those app stores, things ran better. It was easier to upgrade your device to a new one. And the system just started to make more sense. And that's what's starting to happen in TVs now, as Roku and Amazon in particular are starting to take the software that they built for these set-top boxes and actually embed it in TVs. And those companies, because they're software companies, have a much better track record of supporting devices over 5 or 7 years. And Netflix, for instance, is going to keep updating its Roku app because Roku keeps making new products and there are a ton of Roku users. And when Netflix does that, that's going to benefit even your several-year-old Roku TV. So putting your faith in Samsung or Vizio or whoever to make a killer screen and then in Roku to make killer software for it makes a lot more sense to me than trusting one company to do all of it.
Yeah, sounds like the perfect combination. And I love the way you end your column. You essentially say, if you're shopping for a smart TV, when in doubt, get the bigger one.
Totally. I mean, I think the reality is if you're thinking about how your life is going to look 7 years from now, that's a long time and a lot of things are going to change. And the advice that I give people all the time with something like this is buy the biggest, best one that you can afford that makes sense. And especially at this time of year, the deals on these things are crazy. You can buy huge, beautiful TVs for only a few hundred dollars. So buy one, buy the best one you can, and then just let it be great for its whole lifetime. Because right now, TVs are awesome, and they're still going to be awesome a few years from now.
All right. That is technology columnist David Pierce with us. He's the host of Instant Message, the podcast here on WSJ. He's always joined by Joanna Stern and Chris Mims. They tackle the biggest technology issues of the week. Be sure to check them out. And David, thanks for being with us here.
Thanks for having me.
And that's your tech news briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen in New York for The Wall Street Journal.